Good afternoon. It's 2 o'clock on Friday. You are listening to Community Focus. As you know, this program is hosted by Gregory T. Roberts and myself, and has been the case for the past couple of months. Gregory T. is out recuperating and healing. If you've seen him around, folks, you know, I'm not violating HIPAA law. Greg's problems with his throat and with his voice. So he's otherwise he's healthy. He's strong. We're believing he's going to be back soon, and we'll get to hear his lovely voice here on the radio. But let's get to today's program. Our weather, of course, things have turned a bit. It's fall. We had a low today of 52, high of 68. Tomorrow, 85% chance of rain, low of 61, high of 66. Sunday, 100% chance of rain, low 51, high of 61. Monday, 40% chance of rain, low 48, high of 60. Tuesday, more rain, low 48, high 54. Wednesday, more rain, 46 low, 52 high. And next Thursday, 50% chance of rain, low 45, high 54. You might want to get that yard work done today if you've got yard work planned outside. Before we get into our, introduce our guests, you know, I always give you my list of five things, not news, but five whatever things. I woke up this morning thinking about etiquette. So I found an article, Modern Etiquette and Rules on How and How They Differ from the Past by Charlotte Hilton Anderson. So I took a few things from her list and I added a couple. Let me just ask you, etiquette wise, ladies first, is that still a thing? Do you hold the door? And in her article, she kind of talks about the modern spin on those, the idea of deferring to ladies first. How about wearing black to funerals? That was pretty much done now, isn't it? Handwritten thank you notes. I read that when I thought about, you know, I get them sometime, but I don't know what to do with them. I feel bad throwing them away. But it's still nice to get a handwritten thank you note. And when I write them, I think my mom's looking down and said, that's the way you do it, son. Two more. How about pulling out a chair for a lady? Do we still do that one? Or standing up when a lady comes to the table. I haven't seen that, but I have some older friends in their 80s and 90s you'll see do that. And then my bonus etiquette, which some of you know I'm a pastor at a church. How about gentlemen wearing hats inside? We had a guy come to my church, and he had a, you know, baseball cap's now $100. And he asked to have to take his hat off. And I was like, no. It was like there's no real reason for it other than it was just an etiquette thing. But yeah, of course, I was raised in a generation. If you're a gentleman, you took your hat off inside. But we don't even practice that one as much anymore. So just your thought for today. What etiquette practices are obsolete? Which ones do you still observe? Have some fun with that. All right. Folks, thanks for joining us here at Community Focus. I'm excited to have a couple of guests here with us today. We have with us Carla Flanders and Roger Morgenstern. We're going to be talking about Muskegon Rotary Club and the upcoming Harvest Fest. Welcome to the program.
Thank you. Great to be here.
Thanks for having us.
Yep. Before we begin, why don't you tell folks a little bit about yourself?
Okay. So my name is Carla Flanders, as you said, and my company is CMF Marketing and Events. So I do a lot of different events throughout Muskegon County and West Michigan and a lot of community focus events. So this Rotary Harvest Fest is one of them. Mm-hmm. I work with the Community Foundation. I work with West Michigan Symphony. I work with, I used to do the Lakeshore Art Festival for many years. So I do a lot of different things. So kind of marketing and events is my go-to. And I live here in Muskegon County.
Okay. So. Roger.
And I'm Roger Morgenstern. I am retired from Consumers Energy, but I have funked retirement. As I tell people, I'm as busy as I ever am. Nobody pays me. I'm currently the president-elect of the Muskegon Rotary Club. We are one of the largest clubs, Rotary clubs in the Midwest with over 250 members. And I've been a Rotarian for over 20 years, most of it in the Muskegon Club. And I've been very involved in giving back to the community, and Rotary is a great way to do it.
Okay. Now, some people are going to ask this question. What is a Rotary Club and how does one become a member?
Sure. Yep. Well, Rotary is open to all. We we strive to be as welcoming and inclusive as possible. If we have a lot of people in our Rotary Club are business owners or heads of nonprofits. It's really a lot of the decision makers in Muskegon. Mm-hmm. And we love to gather. We gather every week. We have a very vibrant program committee that talks about all sorts of things. We had a speaker on Thursday talking about the big read in Muskegon County that's going on here that the Muskegon Area District Library is doing. Okay. So we do a lot of things in the community. For example, next week we're going to be over at Temple Methodist Church, and we've sponsored a Feeding America food truck. Oh, okay. And so we will be we've raised money to pay for the food truck, but then we'll have Rotarians staffing that. And in fact, we've got to take the aprons we're using at the food truck, get them ready for Harvest Fest the next day. So we do a lot in the community. Mm-hmm. We give back to the community. Since about the last 30 years, we have distributed over $500,000 in grants to different nonprofits in the greater Muskegon area.
That's
so
amazing.
Should have mentioned I am also a Rotarian.
Okay. Yes, she is. Yes. I think I may have sponsored you.
So. Yeah, yeah.
Okay. So let's talk about this upcoming Harvest Fest.
Yeah. So it's next Thursday, October 23rd at the Culinary Institute, right downtown Muskegon. Okay. It's from 5 to 8 p.m. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of open house style, so you can come and go, but most people just go the whole time because it's only 3 hours long. Mm-hmm. It is a fundraiser, so those funds that we are raising are going to a lot of the programs that Roger's probably going to weave in throughout this conversation, because the Rotary does so much for this community. And honestly, before I became a Rotarian, I had no idea. Mm-hmm. I had no idea the amount of service that this organization does for the community as a whole in so many different areas. So really proud to be part of that. And then also some of the funds go to the Culinary Institute students. Okay. I just got off the phone with Jamie today, and she was talking about how they literally use those funds to help those students. So there's a scholarship fund, and then there's also a Rotaract, which is the college version of Rotary Club. So those funds go to that as well. So we're trying to gain as much money as we can so we can just give it right back out to those people that need it, or for whatever service project we're working on. So back to what is the event.
So this is the third year?
Yep. Third year we've been doing it.
We have, so at the Culinary Institute, we will have multiple food stations. Okay. So your ticket includes multiple trips to the food stations, lots of amazing food, live music, 50-50 raffle, silent auction, beverages. And as a matter of fact, one of the beverages that we're making is called the Harvest Fest Sangria, which is using the Estelita, I think it is, Moscato. That's produced right in Muskegon Heights. Yes. So we're going to be using that local wine in our Harvest Fest Sangria. So there'll be adult beverages, and then also, you know, soft drink, water, and coffee as well.
Okay. Yeah. And how much are the tickets?
The tickets are $85. Okay. And you can get those online through MuskeganRotary.org. So okay. MuskeganRotary.org, $85. And that includes one free drink ticket, all you can eat at those food stations. All you can eat at those food stations.
Okay.
And then Barry's Landscaping is also providing a seasonal gift. And so you get that gift when you leave as well. So not only are you, you know, paying good money for good food, but and for a great cause, but then you also receive things while you're there as well.
Yeah. Event like this doesn't happen. Roger, talk about some of the folks that help make this event happen.
Yeah, we've got a large cadre of volunteers, and hats off to Baker College. They, Dr. Aaron Mikey and Jamie Soa have donated the building to us, so we don't have to pay a building fee. And this is a great experience for the students. Not only are they making the food, they're interacting with the 250, 300 people that will be there. It's a great opportunity for them to explain how they make the food. They talk about the presentation. So it's a very educational thing for the students too. Okay. But yes, we do have a large group of volunteers. So we have people that'll be manning the drink stations. We have people selling 50-50 tickets. We have a great silent auction item, over 40 items for our silent auction. In fact, I got a couple in the car to give to Carla. And so, you know, we have to check out and all that. So there's people that help out with that. And so we've got a couple dozen people signed up to help just to be volunteers. And it's just a really fun evening.
We've done this 3 years now, and it's just a great way for people to mix and mingle. I was just talking to a new Rotarian, a young man, young because he's younger than I am. Of course, the older I get, the younger everybody is, you know, all that is. He's going to be coming, and it's a great opportunity for him to get to know more people in the community and to mix and mingle. And for some people, maybe for the first time, to see the CIM, the Culinary Institute of Michigan, which is a great building right in downtown Muskegon. It's really part of, you know, the downtown's renaissance in the last 10 years.
And I'd like to add to that in the fact that this is not just for Rotarians, right? This is a community-wide event. So we really want to welcome the community, 21 and over. 21 and over the community to attend this event, to mix and mingle, to meet new people, to see the Culinary Institute, to have these experiences with the students, with the chefs. We actually have a station where the students will be putting together the food at, while they're there. And so you can talk to the students and you can see how they're putting it together. You can ask them different questions and it's part of their education too.
You know, as I hear you, it's really a event to kind of really get a good feel for Muskegon. If you're maybe like if you're new to the community or something, you get to meet a lot of folks, the Culinary Institute, just you get a good feel for the community. And as we know, Muskegon is the people you meet around
That's right.
You kind of interact with. So that sounds exciting. Now you talked about we have this, it's a fundraiser. Where do these funds go?
Yeah, it goes to our Muskegon Rotary Foundation. And what the foundation does, we turn around and provide leadership training, community events. For example, tomorrow morning, we're actually, if anyone wants to help out in the rain, hopefully it won't rain tomorrow morning, from 9 to noon, we're helping establish a new microforest, which is a something that a Rotary Club started in Florida, and we've taken the idea. And we're involving young students, so it's a way to show students how to give back to the community by volunteering. So the Rotary Club helps put up some of the money, and we get volunteers to provide mulch and cardboard. We're basically getting the forest ready tomorrow, and it's on Lake Avenue in North Muskegon. We're in the third year of a microforest at the end of Marquette, right along US 31 in the city of Muskegon. And the idea of a microforest is something to help combat climate change by growing a very dense forested area in a small, I think it's a half acre plot to help with the whole CO2 issue and more greenery, you know, more tree canopy. I know the city of Grand Rapids, for one, is really focused on their tree canopy. So it's a very important way to help fight climate change. But we're teaching young kids. In fact, I think Jamie Soa from Baker College has students out there every week helping weed the forest. It's becoming a forest. but it teaches them the importance of environmental stewardship. And so we have students from North Muskegon, Reese Buffer Schools are going to help on the North Muskegon one. But so we do community events like that. We're also big into leadership development. We're working with half a dozen schools in Muskegon County on leadership programs, starting as early as the elementary schools and then middle school and high school. And then, as Carla said, we have at the college level at MCC, Muskegon Community College, and Baker College called Rotaract. These are where students learn about the leadership qualities that we have in Rotary. In fact, in high school, it's called an Interact student. There's a young lady from Muskegon High School, just graduated last year. She's joining Rotary because she knows that this is a great organization that teaches leadership development. We care about the communities that we live in, and we're all about, you know, making our world a better place.
Can I just put a pin on, because I was going to ask both of you about this. You know, we had a lot of young listeners to our program. We had a lot of young people that started businesses, and we always try to make sure we say things for young people listening. This idea of getting this younger generation to volunteer, to be part of community service. And I have a young daughter in her early 20s, and you know, we talk about that. You know, it's not just your job and what you do at church and with family, but you're in a community where you
giving
have
back.
To get put something into it.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So. Rotary Club's a way to do that, but talk about how you talk about high school or just joining. That's awesome.
So what we're doing with the students, we come in, it's usually, I think it's once a week, we work with a teacher in the school, and we have students who really create their own club, if you will. But they learn about leadership development. We have them come to Rotary meetings. Some of these kids end up being international exchange students. Right now, I think we have three high school age students abroad, and we have three from other countries here in the Muskegon area, experiencing different cultures. And it can really be life changing. You know, it's just, it's about getting involved and giving back to the community. I was recently at a park here in Muskegon Heights during the Day of Caring, and we were doing some painting. I think I painted myself more than I did the playground equipment. But the gentleman, the neighbor who helps oversee the park, he said, this is a transformation for these children. And that's what we're all trying to do with organizations like Rotary, like the local churches, like United Way, trying to make a difference in our communities. And part of that is having the young people be part of that change. You mentioned your children. I remember when my daughter, she's now 30 and she's actually a Rotarian. I took her to every woman's place on a United Way Day of Caring. It was her birthday. She was 8 years old. Mm-hmm. And she said, what are you going to do with daddy today? I said, we're going to paint a woman's shelter. Well, it started teaching her how you give back to the community, you know, to whom much is given, much is expected.
Yes.
And now I'm proud that my daughter gives back to the community. She's in Rotary. She's in the JC. She's on the Party in the Park committee. Mm-hmm. You know, she's just about everywhere.
She's third generation.
She is a church. Yeah, my father was a Rotarian. Now I am. Yeah. So we're continuing it on. So.
Yeah.
It's really just a Rotary service motto is service above self, you know, and really that's what it's all about.
Yeah.
And at every one of these, I mean, he's, you know, we're speaking specifically to the clubs that we're creating in the middle schools and the high schools and the college level so that they can feel that, you know, service and get involved. But there's other ways with, there's so many programs that Rotary does. Like this is why we have Roger here. Cause there are so many things they do that I can't even wrap my mind around it. And what I always say is like, if you have an interest and you have a passion for something and you want to get involved, Rotary probably has a category for that from DEI to environmental service to youth. And I think part of that is that engagement, you know, not just having a club, but here's another example. We have at the Harvest Fest, we are involving the Muskegon High School Rotaract Club. To paint some pumpkins and decorate them. And we're going to have them at this event. And so they're engaging in that capacity, right? And then what we're going to do is we're going to do a little contest, see who wins, who gets the best pumpkin, and we're going to give back to them. We're going to give that student a little gift card. We're going to give that club something for their participation. So it's just a fun way for them to say, to interact. And that's just a small, small little thing. I mean, on the student level, I mean, there's so many things that are happening and I can't even list them all.
How long has the Rotary Club been in Muskegon?
We have been around since 1916, so we're almost 110 years old.
Wow.
So we are one of the oldest clubs in the state. I think we're only, I think only Detroit and Grand Rapids are older than us. So, and actually Rotary itself was begun in 1910, I believe, in Chicago. So we're one of the first Rotary clubs in the country. So we've been around for a while and we have done things. For example, what a lot of people may know now is Pioneer Trails, the Pioneer Resources Zones up on Blue Lake. Rotary started that as a children's camp called Camp Henry. And it was a children's summer camp for years and years and years. It's right next to Camp Pendulum that the YMCA owns. So they were involved in things like that, you know, 100 years ago. We started a youth leadership academy, which is now in its, I think, 77th year, started here in Muskegon. It now involves high school age children from all over, I think, the state of Michigan. They go up to Ferris State up in Big Rapids every spring. And it's a great experience for these young people to learn the importance of what I consider servant leadership, you know, putting service above self.
Okay. And folks are interested if they're hearing this, hopefully they're gaining more interest, but if they're interested in wanting to join the Rotary Club, who do they contact?
Yeah. Go to MuskegonRotary.org and you can send us an inquiry. In fact, we just got a new member that way. You can say that you're interested in joining the club and a member of our membership committee will be in contact with you.
How often do you all meet?
We meet every week. We meet Thursdays at noon, either at the downtown Muskegon, either at the Delta or at the Lake House. We're usually at the Lake House in the summer and the Delta in the winter. Don't have to attend every meeting. We actually have a Zoom option as well, which is great if you're feeling under the weather or if you're stuck at your desk. I mean, we all know how that can happen. We have a Zoom option. And we also have a satellite club called Rewind, W-I-N-E. So you may get it's an evening club. They meet twice a month.
Okay.
And it's for people that maybe can't make those noontime meetings. Their job is such they can't break away. So that's another opportunity. But there's information about the club at Muskegon Road. muskegonrotary.org, and we would be glad, we'd be glad to have guests come, and you can check it out. What we have found is once people come to a couple meetings as a guest, they get an idea what the club does, because we'll announce that, well, the DEI committee is doing this, or the, you know, the youth membership committee is doing this, the environmental committee is doing, you get an idea what we're all about. So people may, we mentioned DEI, you know, that's a big subject nowadays. It is still alive and well in Muskegon Rotary. And we recommitted ourselves to what we call the Love Lives Here campaign. We started this back in, it's before I rejoined, I think it was 2020 or 2021. I can't remember. No, I was going back to 2017.
Yeah, actually. I think it was before
2017. We made a commitment signed by over 200 leaders, governmental leaders, church leaders, that, you know, we support love and not hatred. And we made a recommitment to that. You'll see new signs popping up around town that says love still lives here. Mm-hmm. It's just a recommitment in this time of a lot of uncertainty for many people, that Rotary is a place that we respect everybody. We respect everyone for who they are and what they bring to the table.
That's nice to hear.
And that's becoming reflective in the membership as well. I mean, we have one of the DJs here is a member of the Rotary Club, and and we love having him there. And, you know, different generations, different backgrounds, different socioeconomic capacities. And so we are really thankful for that diversity within the club.
It makes things interesting and kind of fun, you know, when you get other perspectives and different backgrounds. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. For sure.
So folks, you know, people use the term now party with a purpose. So we're talking about the Harvest Fest on October 23rd.
Yeah.
This is the third year. How have things kind of grown or evolved since the first year you had this event?
Well, I think it's grown in notoriety for what it's for, and the fact that people put it on their calendar ahead of time. Although I will say, Muskegon, buy your tickets in advance, please.
I've heard you don't always do the best.
I'm talking like in advance, like right now, my friend. Yeah. Or
not like tickets, Wednesday morning, Thursday morning. Yeah.
Ticket sales do end Wednesday evening at 11:59 p.m. Okay. Wednesday evening, 11:59 p.m. You can still get tickets. Because we want people to get tickets in advance, because we got to know how much food to get, right? Mm-hmm. So you get the difference between 250 or 350 people. That's a big difference.
Sure.
So anyways, people do put on the calendar. They just don't buy tickets right away. But anyways, which the tickets
it's
are,
not just you.
I know.
We were talking to the Lakeshore Museum Center, and they have their big Lumber Baron's Ball, and they were concerned about their attendance, and they had a record attendance, but it was like, oh, in the last 4 days.
We have increased by about 40% in the last 24 hours.
Yeah,
so,
but it's
good. So yeah, so party with a purpose. I love that. And the purpose is Rotary. The purpose is community. And the good news is, you know, you get all those things with that ticket. You get, like I said, unlimited trips to the food station. Mm-hmm. You get live music, 50-50 raffle opportunities, silent auction, things range from $20 to $2,000. But I mean, like, some of them are really cool experiences. Mm-hmm. Roger's got one where you can ride on his boat on Muskegon Lake.
We do kind of a historical tour of Muskegon Lake with Dave Alexander, who a lot of people retired from the Chronicle, knows a lot about what has happened in Muskegon Lake in the last 40 years. Yeah, so we do that. And we're actually pairing that with some time at Wonderland Distillery down in the Lakeside area. So
yeah. So that's something you could win at the silent auction if you bid on it. Uh-huh. And then Brian Fidoa is the musician that's going to be there. He's well known in the community as well. Interaction with the students and the chef, great supports for the community, the gift from Berry's, of course. And then, you know, we're really thankful for people like Benton, who is one of the supporters, and PNC Bank, and Baker College, as you mentioned. Like, we couldn't do this without the support of those people. And so, great place to mix and mingle. And I mean, I'm looking down at my little cheat sheet here. And the reason why I am is, if you see these sponsors, and if you go to our website and you see them, please thank them. And a lot of these movers and shakers and leaders are going to be at this event as well.
You know, just if folks haven't been to the Culinary Institute and had some of the food they prepare there, you're really missing a treat.
It's amazing.
And, you know, I'm mostly like to hear the chefs talk about I don't know anything about it, but him talk about it and the seasons they use with the stuff.
Right.
You know, I got salt and pepper. You know, it makes the food taste better.
Yeah.
So that sounds really exciting.
Well, and I was going to say, I have a little short cheat sheet, and I know you have the press release with all the details, but just to give you a few ideas of some of the savory options, they're going to be putting together a veal herb crostini with all the fixings on there, Finnish meatballs, and all of these are kind of paired seasonally with other things and beverages that we have, and Asian dumplings, all handmade, that are going to be there at that time. And then that's just a taste of some of those. And I don't have all the details. So it's more than salt and pepper, though. I can guarantee that. And then on the dessert side, they have an amazing chef there. She's been on TV. She's won a ton of awards for her dessert treats. And one is going to be an apple brandy tiramisu, which I cannot wait to try. A Harvest Fest apple cake. Cinnamon raisin bread pudding is another one, plus assortments of chocolates. And like I said, I'm just listing a few. I mean, times that times a couple, and that's what you're going to get. But again, if you check check us out on Facebook or online, a lot of this information's there as well.
It sounds like just a great time.
Yeah.
We're running up on time. Roger, any final words you want to share with folks today about the Harvest Fest at Rotary?
Yeah, just a reminder, it's 5-day downtown Muskegon on the 23rd. Go to MuskegonRotary.org for more information.
All right. Carl?
I think you took the words right out of my mouth. Oh, I know. Get your tickets in advance.
Yes. Go to eventbrite.com or go to the Rotary site. Yep. There's a link there. So,
It's always, you know, I'm blessed to be able to do this, but when we talk to folks that are really doing things in the community and really involved, I was going to tell Roger too quickly. One, I remember back in high school in the late 70s, Rotary was doing like student of the month or something. And I remember being one of those students years and years
ago. We still do. We bring students to the club almost every week.
And then when I came back to Muskegon in 94, your dad was one of the first people who made a point to stop over and meet me at the city hall.
Thank you.
You look more and more like him every time.
I know. I'm losing hair. I know. Thanks. Thank you. I appreciate that. He's
so
good, man.
Good to have both you all here. Folks, it's the Harvest Fest. It's October the 23rd. Go to the Rotary website. And let's get the tickets early, Muskegon. We need to do some planning. We want to make sure there's more than enough for everybody there. All right. Thank you guys so much for coming in, okay?
Thanks for having us.
Thank you very much.
Okay, you're welcome.
It's fun. Thank you.
All right. Folks, we're going to take a little break, and do not go anywhere. You want to hear the interview with my next guest. All right. Good afternoon. Welcome back. I'm excited to introduce you folks to my next guest. He has been to Muskegon before, but will you give him a Muskegon welcome and welcome to the program, Black Bach?
Yeah.
Welcome.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Yeah, good to have you here. Yeah. Now, Black Bach, for folks that don't know, tell them who you are and what you do.
I am a neoclassical pianist and composer, originally from Detroit, Michigan. One of the things I love to do is write songs that focus on the things that are going on in our culture today, especially socially. And I just love to convey those messages. My one thing is being able to tell a story without words.
Yeah, that's awesome. I had a chance to just do a little reading to catch up some of your music. I got a lot I want to ask you, but let's start off. We get a lot of young people to our program.
Yeah.
Let's talk about your upbringing, how you developed this love of music.
Yeah. So I always say there's no better place to be brought up in music than Detroit. I mean, it's just like it's like ground zero for greatness.
Yeah, I'll argue to anybody the best music city in the country.
Yeah. And, you know, one of the things that I love was that I was able to kind of be a part of that community. Not just on the classical side, because I took private lessons with one instructor. But then after, you know, classical music ran out for me, which was high school. It was funny. I spoke at Muskegon High earlier and I told them, I was like, yeah, when I became 16, classical wasn't popular. Like kids didn't, you know, so I quit and I started getting into the jazz community in Detroit. And that community is rich.
Oh, yes.
I mean, some of the great masters of the genre were living in the city at that time. So it was just great to come up that way and, you know, get a lot of my training on the streets as opposed to like in the classroom. And I think that has become my superpower now is that I wasn't so I didn't have that opportunity to go to college to study music in that way. But it was something about understanding the emotion of music and what I learned from the guys that, you know, in the clubs that really speaks to my music now.
Okay. Yeah. So you're over talking to high school students and you say classical music and you got to put pin their eyelids up.
Yeah, exactly.
So other than you getting on the keyboards, what do you say to them again to expand them, to say, hey, you know, give this a try.
I mean, the thing about it is you see me one way, you hear me another way. I mean, yeah. I come in with Jordans on and my gold grills in. So it's like, it's that's the thing that kind of reels them in immediately, is going, wait a minute, this guy represents the culture that I love.
You come in wearing a top hat and tails tuxedo.
You will never, ever see me in that. No, not the penguin suit. No. You know, so I believe that that's one of the things that's missing in classical music these days, is just like the overhaul of culture. You know, we're still basing the music on a culture that's, you know, centuries old. It doesn't mean that we can't bring it forward to where we are and bring it into our culture and put our spin on it. And I think that's the thing that takes classical music to its next place, is being able to bring it into the now culture and put our stamp on what we're doing.
Yeah. My family found it humorous. I'm interviewing somebody about music. Yeah. All my siblings were in band years. I was in band a week.
Yeah.
You know, when you say Black Bach, you know, for people to, well, Bach, you know, I remember, you know, them playing those, you know, in the bands, all those things. So you bring this music that, you know, again, we don't think of it as us playing this music.
Right.
And I had a chance to take one of the clips. One of them I saw, I wrote this down, Hype Me Up.
Yeah.
Is it wherever you are, you just play a piano? Is that what you do?
Yeah, yeah. I take, for those clips, I just basically was like, let me just go out on the streets and just like play it and see how people react. And the thing about it is that some of the reactions are incredible.
I love it. I mean, you were like in and out.
Yeah, I did an In and Out.
Like I'm saying, is this a video or is he really hearing an In and Out?
No, I did an In and Out. I did it in Walgreens a couple weeks ago. I did it in a White Castles. Like, I just go anywhere. To me, the whole thing is this. If there's security there, either you're going to let me do my TikTok or you're going to be my TikTok.
Yeah.
So for the first one I did was in a Walgreens, and the security came up and he stopped me. But that was the one that kind of skyrocketed all the rest because people wanted to see what's he going to do in the next one, you know?
Yeah.
So to me, it's just about being able to get on the street and play music for people in weird and interesting places and just see their reactions.
That's awesome. Yeah, I started. Folks, again, we're on with Black Bach, and go to YouTube. If you aren't familiar with this music, go to YouTube and just watch some of the clips. You'll become a big fan like I am. So we talk about your, you know, your education growing up. Where's the first thing that you said, you know what, this is going to be my career. Like, I'm going to do this for a living.
It's a great story. It happened when I was maybe about 15 years old. I did a gig with the legendary Martha and the Vandellas. It was the first time I had traveled out of town to do anything. My piano instructor, Teddy Harris, God rest his soul, was not able to do that gig. So he said, my young protege, I'll send my protege. And just so happens that on this particular gig, 15 years old, I got offered sex, drugs, and then two of the guys in the band got into a fight in a B&B and destroyed it. And Martha, she said, baby, come here. She said, I'm sorry you had to see all that. And then she handed me an envelope full of money. And I said, sex, drugs, and rock and roll. I said, I'm this is a pirate's life for me. Say less. We good.
Oh, man. That's a great story.
Yeah.
So it was on from there.
It was on from there. I knew that, you know, just the energy of music and the way it connects people. And I just knew that it was for me.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, I think you're in Muskegon tonight. What can people expect when they come out to the show?
One thing you can expect is storytelling.
Okay.
You know, and education. A lot of it is teaching Black history.
Okay.
A lot of it is talking about issues that are that concern us all. But as well, you'll hear beautiful music and just the ability to walk you through a storyline. And I think that's the one thing that really sets me apart, is the ability to kind of walk people through a story and get them to a place where we're connecting as one crowd, as one thing.
So now I'm gonna ask you an impossible question.
Okay.
I'm a pastor, so people say, how do you write a sermon? It's like, so how do you write a song?
How do I write a song?
And don't say in the bathroom, because that's what I do.
No. Can't take the piano in the bathroom. But one of the ways that I write a song is a little bit unconventional for classical writers, because most go to conservatory and most learn composition. I just didn't have those opportunities.
Sure.
So I had to kind of make my own way.
Okay.
And in my own way, I open up my computer and I have a program in where I record, and I just press record.
Yes.
then you play something until something hits you, until something feels like, oh my gosh, I need to, that's an idea that I need to stretch out. And essentially it's like a puzzle. You know how you do the edge pieces?
Okay.
You get one idea and you keep get working that idea until you get the edge. And you're like, oh, okay, well, this is a face. Well, let me put this together. So it's a bunch of small ideas that get put into larger ideas, that get put into larger ideas that become a full story arc. So if you look at my sessions, the song may be 4 minutes long, right? The session in itself is 600 minutes.
Yeah.
So it took that much to come up with enough ideas and pieces and parts to put together a 4 minute song.
Okay. Now, I know this is like asking a parent who's their, what's their favorite child. Do you have any particular favorites? I think this is your third or fourth album you have now.
We're getting ready, writing my third album.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, I'll say this. I just finished a piece for my third album. The one that's not out yet is called Left, Right, and Searching for Center.
Okay.
And to me, I feel like there was a study done about like people who are extreme left and people who are extreme right. And it says that that's a total, it's like 0.01% people that are actually that extreme.
Right.
There are the rest of us who are somewhere in the middle searching for something.
Sure.
And I think that's the important part, is not the far left or the far right. It's the what's in the middle, and how can we find a ground that's some place in the middle where we both agree on things. I think democracy is one of those things where we just need to discuss it more. And knowing that our social media is feeding us things that push us to the fringes, but we don't all exist on the fringes. I think that's a very important topic to speak on, and like I said, it's one of the pieces for my next album.
And you think when you're performing and you look out to an audience, you don't see a Democrat in our label.
No,
you see people enjoying your music.
Absolutely. And that's the thing, is that we don't see red or blue.
We
see purple. You know, if you put red and blue together, you get purple. I see purple, you know. Like, these are people who have differences and opinions, but we can all get together and enjoy time together, and if we need to, we can get into discussions together to try and find the center. That's the thing.
You probably know, again, I know you said you had private lessons, but a lot, you know, budgets get tight. High schools cut music, and we've had superintendents on it who talk about the importance of getting kids exposed to music early on. Talk to parents, teachers, people who listen to community about the importance of exposing young people to music.
The importance of exposing young people
to music. When I say music, I mean
just
instruments.
Art. Art. I mean, there's a part of your brain that gets, you know, it's like somebody turning on the lights of a part of your brain. There's the empathy. There's the sympathy. There's all this expression. There's ways of dealing with emotions. Like, these are parts of the brain that need to be stimulated. And I think that every kid needs to understand that, you know, the arts are, I mean, we're already involved in the arts anyways, because we listen to music every day, or we listen to podcasts, or we, you know, look at drawings, or we look at TV, and, or, you know, whatever show you're watching on Netflix, that's someone's art. So we all are exposed to it all times, but to have the access to it gives you another way of expressing yourself. You know, and I think that that's, we live in a time of, you know, depression and at all time high, anxiety and at all time high. When I'm anxious, I have the piano as an outlet, you know, and I think that needs to be something that we present to our children.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
I want to make sure I get with my thoughts. So what's, as you've been into this career, what's the next, if you said when you're, put the piano up. What is it you want to have accomplished with your music? When people say, you know, Black Box Music was this, that you feel like, okay, I've done what I needed to do.
Well, I think the most important thing is that, was I able to communicate something or help someone? Or, I mean, to me, it's all service. You know, I don't do anything. None of the music I do is for any other reason than service. How does this help someone? You know, how does this help someone get through a hard time, or have them have a tough conversation, or how does this affect someone's emotion? Like, to me, that is my job. That's my purpose. That's what I've been put here on earth to inspire. Have I inspired anyone? Even if it's one person, I feel like that's a life well lived. So at the end of the day, you know, if that's the one thing that they say, well, Black Bach inspired me. Okay. Check. You know, okay. I did my job.
Okay. Now, is your family still alive? Your parents still alive?
Yeah.
Okay. What do they say about the music? I know they invested in your lessons.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What do your parents say about what you're doing?
They love what I'm doing.
Okay.
They love, they're fans. Uh-huh. They're still hypercritical.
Really?
I'm still their son.
Are they in the music as well? Or are they just parents?
They're just parents. You know, they're
get a real job, though.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But they, you know, they've always been supportive of music. I come from, on my mother's side, I come from a family of entertainers. My grandfather has a music note in the Walk of Fame in Memphis. Another uncle was a tap dancer with, you know, Sammy Davis Jr. And another is a saxophonist in New York City. So that arts, the part of the arts was on my mother's side. And she's like, yeah, makes sense, you know. And then my dad is very much a supporter too. Like he, you know, he sits back. He still wonders how I do what I do.
Is that right?
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So you're in Muskegon tonight at the Frauenthal, 7:30 p.m.
At the Block.
Oh, the Block. I'm sorry. Yeah. The Block. 7:30 p.m. Mm-hmm. Where do you go after Muskegon?
Oh, I'll go home.
You going home?
I'm going to take some time
you
off.
You still reside in Detroit?
No, not anymore. Been in Las Vegas since 2019.
Okay.
And then LA before that. But I still do come back to Detroit very often.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm definitely going to take some time off. I'm working on the rest of my new album as well as some other projects that are coming down the pipeline.
Okay. So, yeah, you don't have to be kind. You're in Muskegon. It's your second time in Muskegon.
Yeah.
What has Muskegon been like for you?
Oh, it's been great. Okay. It's been a great experience. I mean, both times I've had the honor of speaking at North Muskegon and Muskegon High.
Okay.
And it's just really been cool. Like, I love the energy. You know, the city is gives a great energy. And I played at the Block before, and it was an amazing show. So I'm looking forward to another amazing show tonight.
Okay. Is it just one show?
Yes, it's just one show. Yeah.
Okay. All right. And I believe there are still tickets available. So folks, again, if you want to have a great time and a great experience, you can go on to the Block site there, Frauenthal site. You can get there from there and go check out Black Bach tonight.
Yeah.
So again, I'm not being a music person, but one of the things when you read it says you bring these genres, other music genres, into classical music.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know how people do that, you know, but I always enjoy it.
Right.
So talk to me a little bit about that, you know, how you bring, you know, hip hop or into classical music.
The one thing I say is they're all related. They're all like first cousins.
Uh-huh.
I mean, classical music with country, with pop, with rap, with it's all the same 12 notes and rhythms used in different ways.
Okay.
So if you can kind of break things down to their normal, like to the smallest components, you can kind of rebuild it and you can borrow from things.
Okay.
You know, and that's kind of what I'm doing is like taking things that I've learned in classical music. But I mean, I was a hip hop kid. I grew up in the West Side. Like I love rap, you know, it's always been a part of me. So essentially just, you know, taking different parts of who you are and fusing them together and come up.
So is there a classical crowd that turns their nose up at that kind of thing? Or is it?
Oh, there's a classical crowd that turns their nose up at me as a period. You know, I'm the thing that's not with the rules. The rules are, you know, and the tradition is the tradition, but, you know, most people have gone to colleges like Berkeley or Juilliard and you know, have gotten multiple degrees to do this and they've studied with, you know, the best of the best. Like I said, I didn't have those opportunities. So I feel like this has become a superpower because I feel like I'm not enclosed in anything.
Yeah.
I feel like there's a sense of freedom and a freedom to express, and not only just a freedom to express, but a freedom to try things and experiment.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think the genre as a whole is a lot about experimentation.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's where the tradition kind of gets it to me a little bit wrong, because up until a certain point, all musicians were also composers. Beethoven was not just a pianist. He was a composer.
Okay.
Chopin, pianist, composer. All of them were composers as well as musicians.
Mm-hmm.
Now what they teach you now is just to be a musician who plays the works of others.
Okay.
So for me, it's like we disconnected something at some point and we need to plug it back in, which is the creativity part.
Again, to me, it's not, you know, when you say that, it's something like, again, what better way to express yourself than something you compose yourself?
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So I think that's one of the things that, like I said, the noses may go up at sometimes, but you know, I love the fact that that happens because it allows me to sit down and play, and then everything opens up again.
Yeah. I imagine when you have a teacher, let's say in a class, there's always that thing in your mind of, I got to do this different than the way my teacher taught me, you know? And
yeah.
So when you talk about that freedom, mm-hmm. I hear it when you say it, it's like,
yeah.
You know, and some people probably do, but it's probably your push to like, I know I was taught to always do it this way, so I got to now try to do it different.
Right.
It is a barrier you have to get over.
Absolutely.
So yeah. When you're just chilling, what do you listen to?
What do I listen to?
Do you listen to yourself?
Everything. Not very often.
Are you critical when you hear yourself?
No. I usually, after I write a piece, I step away from it for a period of time. Because, you know, it's something about when it's done, it's done.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that it determines its finishing point. Mm-hmm. I don't determine the finishing point.
Okay.
So when a piece is done, I have to step away from it. Most times because I don't want to, it's done. Okay. You know, it's almost like, was it Johnny Depp never saw who Jack Sparrow is because he did the movie. Uh-huh. The art was in doing it. So for me, the art is in composing it.
Okay.
And then learning it. The art again is then learning the piece and being able to perform the piece. But I don't listen to a lot of it.
Okay.
But I listen to everything. Love everything. Yeah.
Okay. What's some of your favorites?
Oh man.
Yeah. You're gonna leave somebody. You're gonna leave saying, I should have said what.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. I should have said that. I listen to everything. Jeezy. I've been listening to Jeezy a lot lately. I've been listening to Pat Metheny lately. I've been listening to Andreas Wollenweider, which is really obscure. Most people don't know who he is.
Uh-huh.
But I've also been listening to like DDG. I've also been listening to Playboi Carti. I've been listening, you know, it's everything. Uh-huh. When I tell you everything, I mean everything.
Yeah. What type of venues do you enjoy performing in the most?
Oh, ones like The Block, where it's not too many. I don't like mm-hmm. large. If it's too many people, then it doesn't allow me to have that sort of closeness.
Okay.
And I just like that idea of being able to directly connect with people.
Are there some places you haven't performed that you're looking forward to? You seem to kind of go with the flow.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's
exactly how it is.
It's a new experience, a new place, a new experience.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. A kid earlier asked me, he was like, what was the best thing you've done in your life? I was like, being here in this moment right now.
Yeah.
Like I'm all about, you know, being present. Like what's ahead of me, I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
I know it's going to be cool.
Yeah.
What's behind me, that was cool. But in the present, this is the most awesome moment. Yeah, this is the only moment that matters.
Well, that's a good moment for me. I'll tell you that.
Absolutely. Yeah. Likewise.
Yeah. So I'll tell you that you mentioned being from Detroit area, and I went to school over near Detroit. So before I came, one of my friends that went to school with, I was like, hey, go to YouTube, listen to this guy. I'm interviewing him today. He plays. I didn't know until you've been in school years. He played piano. So I told him to make sure he caught you on here today. But yeah, I really enjoyed getting familiar with the music, checking some of the clips out on YouTube, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
My wife's listening, so we're going to make plans to be there this evening, just letting her know.
Okay.
Yeah. So you say you like venues like the Black. Do you interact with the audience?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah. This is, you know, the show is a conversation.
Okay.
It's a conversation between me and the audience, and also say that it's a dance. Mm-hmm. Between me, it's a conversation between me and the audience. It's a dance between me and the piano, mm-hmm. and luckily the audience is able to be there to witness the dance.
Yeah, I listened to your piece, Michelle's First Day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you say storytelling. I listen a lot of jazz, and I'm listening to it. And the second time, I was like, okay, yeah, I see. This is how I heard it. You know, it's kind of like what I heard is somebody in a new place, and then the music kind of picked up. Melody's the right word.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the end, it kind of like, okay, now I'm really here. Now there's stuff I really got to do.
Mm-hmm.
When I heard it, that, you know, again, that's how I heard it. But I heard listen to it a couple of times. Like, okay,
you got it.
Yeah, that's what I felt when I heard it.
Yeah,
I was like, yeah, but that was pretty cool. And you performed that.
Yeah.
At the White House.
Yeah. No, I haven't performed that.
You performed it live. Did you perform for Michelle? Or?
No, I don't know if she's even heard it yet.
We're going to make sure she gets.
We're going to put our effort behind it.
But that was pretty cool. You want to listen to that?
Yeah. I mean, it was one of the pieces. It was the first piece I've ever written as Black Bach. It was funny. I just saw her book Becoming, and I was just like, I wonder what it was like when she, like, you know, you're a mother, you're a wife, you're moving into this house that was built by slaves. There's history. There's so many things that it takes to be a woman and be a mom and a wife and bring your family into this house. Mm-hmm. What is that like? So even the beginning of it is perfect description of a car driving up to the house, and it does this chromatic thing. I know you made it, not to get too technical, but it sounds like doors opening.
Okay.
Uh-huh. And then you hear the piece start. And that's kind of her observing things and walking through and, like, you know, how do I make this a home?
Yeah. And no, so I appreciate you got it. Again, my family's laughing. They say, but a non-music guy's like, they put my family really criticize it, but I do enjoy music and just listen to it. I was like, wow, I'm getting liking jazz. And I'm saying, okay, what do I hear here? Mm-hmm. But that was pretty cool.
Thank you.
That was pretty cool. So tell me, you talked about, we'll talk about your future thing. Do you often perform with other artists?
I have a long history of performing with other artists, but
talk about that a little bit. I don't want to just sit here and read your background.
It was pretty cool because I had a whole career before Black Bach. My first artist that I toured with was Justin Timberlake, and then Backstreet Boys and Rihanna and John Mayer. Demi Lovato, short stint with Ciara, and then the last tour I did was called Michael Jackson Immortal with Cirque du Soleil. Mm-hmm. So I've worked with a lot of people. I was a producer, worked with Timbaland, so I do make beats and all that stuff like that, but it's like, it was amazing to work for other folks. Sure. I mean, to tour the world with other music, I mean, the best of pop performers of that time, like, it was amazing. I kind of got done with it. After Michael Jackson, you kind of go like, you know, you're like, I don't know what to do with my hands now. You know what I mean? You're kind of lost after that, you know? So I guess the only natural move was to start looking inward. Mm. And I had never asked the question, which is so important to every creative, which is, what is my creative voice?
Mm.
And if you never ask yourself that question, maybe you should.
Okay.
And if you think about it, even like Black Bach is the sum of so many things. It's the sum of JT and Rihanna and Ciara and classical music as a kid and jazz music through college. It's all these experiences kind of packed into one thing. And then what does that mean and how does that sound and how do you express yourself? So like I said, I had a whole touring career for years and years and then decided like maybe I should need to take that and invest some time into myself.
I appreciate it sitting here with you so much. I'm excited about coming to the show tonight and checking it out.
Yeah, excited to have you there.
Yeah. Again, I love when we get young people listen to our programs. And we always ask this. We interview folks all over the country. There's the music side, and then there's the business side.
Mm-hmm.
Say something to the young people. You know, everybody's, you know, and I don't mean this critically, going to be a rapper or going to do something with music. Mm-hmm. Talk to the young people about what they need to do to take care of themselves on the business side.
Oh, first thing you need to understand is that it is a business. You know, like I've worked a lot in the studios and like a lot of co-producing, a lot of being around beat makers. I make beats myself.
Okay.
But understanding, like, I think Eminem is a great example. He works 9 to 5.
Mm.
He gets in the studio at 9. He leaves at 5 p.m. No matter what's happening. Okay. It's a job. And that's the thing. If you can take what you're doing creatively and think of it as a job, then it allows you to kind of lock in a different type of way. I think we see it all as you know, fun and games, which it is. It's fun, but it's still a business. And you still have to commit to something. And that's the thing is that, are you willing to make that commitment? Are you willing to take the time in your life that is limited and use it to create art? And if you are thinking about how much the time is limited, am I going to step up with my most authentic self? And I think that's the thing that separates the goods from the greats from the greatest, is who's being most authentic when they're stepping up to do whatever it is they do creatively.
Awesome. We got a couple minutes left. In your own voice, invite folks to the show tonight.
Hey, y'all. This is Black Bach. I'm so excited to be here in Muskegon. I invite you sincerely to come down to the block. Show starts at 7:30. Also, if you aren't able to come to the show, the Black Box app just launched today.
Awesome.
So you can go on wherever you get your apps, or download your apps, put in Black Box, BLKBOK, and the Black Box app is there. It has exclusive content. It has ticket links. It has a bunch of stuff. I'm going to be posting some stuff from Muskegon on there in the next couple of days. So if you can't make it to the show tonight, make sure you download the app.
All right, folks, we've been on with Black Box again, that program, that concert tonight at 7:30 at the Block. You know, we always close out the program with a final thought. First, I want to thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you.
You know, as I'm sitting here, I never know what my final thought's going to be. But, you know, no matter what, music is a part of all of our lives. If you have limited ability like me, this weekend, make it a point. Be deliberate. Listen to something, maybe it was something your grandparents or your parents like, maybe it's something you like, but take a few minutes, sit down or put your headphones on and enjoy some good music. Enjoy some music that just allows your mind to relax or dance or, but I want you to enjoy the music. You know, we listen to music while we're driving and doing chores, but I want you to enjoy the music. All right, folks, this has been Community Focus at 103.7 The Beat. My brother Gregory T, get well, and we'll see you guys again next Friday.